We want to talk to you this morning about a wonderful invitation that we have in Jesus Christ, and that invitation about being in an intimate relationship with our Father in heaven. That's really what I want to speak to this morning. I was at soccer a couple of weeks ago, sometime Sunday afternoon. I'm a linesman running around. Sometimes I'm there, I'm the orange boy or whatever it is, and talking to one of the dads the other day at soccer, and just ended up talking about church, and he made the comment to me. He said, "Oh, look, I'm not religious." And I said, "Well, look, I'm not religious either. And I certainly never want to be called religious. If you're a born-again Christian, to be called religious is almost an insult, isn't it? To be called religious. Now, for someone who doesn't know any better, anything to do with God, and they call that being religious. But as Christians, we can be religious. As born-again Christians, we can actually be religious and not even know that we are being religious. The difference between being religious and not being religious depends on our intimacy with our Father. Now, our relationship with our Father is because of Jesus Christ. But your fellowship or your intimacy that you have with your Father in heaven is entirely dependent on you. Relationship because of Jesus Christ, but fellowship and intimacy depends on us and each and every one of us. Now, there's this beautiful invitation that comes in the Song of Songs or Song of Solomon, a beautiful poetic book. It really is just a love song between the beloved, which is the church, and the lover, which is Christ, who loves his church. And it says this in chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, "My beloved spoke and said to me," and so this is the Lord speaking to you, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me." Now, what an amazing invitation that is from the Creator of heaven and earth that looks at you and says, calls you, you're beautiful one. You might not feel so beautiful, but your Father in heaven, he just loves you and just says, "My beautiful one." And he says, "Arise and come with me." What an invitation that is, that the one who made everything has given this invitation to come and spend time with him, come and be with him. But the sad thing is that we don't always do that. And that's really what I'll get onto a little bit later. But there is this incredible invitation. You just think for a moment that the Creator of heaven and earth calls you darling, says you're beautiful, and he wants you to spend time with him, wants to be an intimate relationship, intimate fellowship with him. And because the reality is that if we're not in intimate relationship with him, intimate fellowship with him, then we were being religious. And so we can be just as religious as anyone else can be religious. And whether you're religious or not, or whether I'm religious or not, depends on that intimacy, that fellowship that I have. And yet there's this incredible invitation. He says, come with me. And just imagine that. You see, the Lord is just crying out, even that word that came this morning, the prophetic word, that the heart of God is that, come on, come with me. Come and spend time with me. Come, and that's the cry of God's heart. He loves us so much that he's calling to us. He says, arise, get up, wake up, or whatever it is. Just arise, come. Come, my darling, come with me. Come and spend time with me. And that's God's heart. And how do we actually do that? What does it look like if I'm having intimacy with my Father in heaven? What does that actually look like? How do I know whether I'm actually walking in that, or whether, man, I've actually been religious and didn't realize? Because you can come to church every week and not still be walking in intimacy with your Father in heaven. And because there's a lot of religious people who go to church every week and they've done their religious bit for the week, And that's it. And that's what makes them religious, because it's a form, it's an outside thing. There's no life and no substance, no heart, no close connection, no intimacy in that. And we've got to check our own heart to make sure that we don't fall into that trap, because we are invited into this real intimate relationship with our Father in heaven. One of the main things is in prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it won't come up on the screen, but 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul talks about praying constantly, or praying continually, or praying without ceasing. Now, I don't know about you, but do you actually do that? What does it actually mean to be praying continuously? So how many of you are praying when you're asleep? How many are you praying, you know, everything you're doing, and say, well, I'm not praying without ceasing. But really what it's getting about is having a constant awareness of the Lord around us all of the time. Certainly we need to pray. We have great time praying every Friday night. Praying at our prayer meeting is a great time to pray, and people have a heart to pray. We gather and pray, and it's great to do that. But it's more having an awareness within our heart that you're always aware that God is with you, always aware that God is close to you. Always aware, wherever you are, whether you're at work, whether you're at school, or whether wherever place you happen to be at home, there's an awareness that God is there with me, and that I'm constantly talking to them. And it might not be words that I'm speaking out loud in prayer, but I'm acknowledging that the Lord is with me all of the time. And to have such a heart, that's a part of intimacy, is knowing that He's there. The another part of it is just abiding. When He talks about abiding in Him and abiding with Him. And that's just being, spending time, making space where you're just with God, where you just quiet your heart. And yeah, it's important to pray, and we tell God how we're feeling, what we're going through, because at the end of the day, people don't always understand what you're going through. And as good and well-intentioned as people are, they don't always understand what you're going through. They don't always understand how you're feeling. But I tell you what, God always understands. And He always cares, and He always loves. And so we're able to tell Him, Lord, this is how I'm feeling. This is my struggle. And I tell you, so many people need to do that. People get themselves in a lot less trouble if they actually spent time just sharing their heart with the Lord and allowing Him to touch them, to speak back to them, drop things into their spirit. But abiding is also important as well, where we just spend time. You're just sitting in the Lord's presence. Do you ever do that? You just sit, everything's quiet, and it's just you and God. And you're not praying a million things on your prayer list. Maybe you've already done that. You prayed things, but you just spend time hanging out with God, just abiding with Him, just spending time with Him. You're not doing anything. You're not necessarily reading anything, but you're just sitting quietly in the Lord's presence. That's a very powerful thing. You'll find that if you're struggling emotionally, if you're struggling with discouragement, you just spend some time in the Lord's presence, just hang out with God and just abide with Him. By His Spirit, then there's a real peace comes into your heart. A clarity comes into your thinking as you do that. We spend time with Him. Another part of being intimate is worship. And when we come together, it's important that we all enter into that. That's a part of intimacy. Telling the Lord, I love You, Lord, how much I love You. Declaring that, how the Lord longs to hear those words. The ones that says, my darling, my beautiful one, arise, come with me. He wants to hear that. He wants to hear that. He loves you. And for us to respond and express our love to Him is something that is very pleasing, a wonderful, pleasing aroma to our Father in heaven when we do that. And so those things of intimacy are really important. It's sad, though, when people don't pray and when they don't abide and when they don't worship. And then we struggle when we don't do that. Not talking about salvation. Salvation just comes through Jesus Christ. Our relationship is with Him. But that intimacy and that walking closely in fellowship with Him, it depends on us. It doesn't depend on God. He's there for us. And Hebrews 13:5, it reminds us. It says this, keep your lives from the love of money. Be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. What a wonderful, wonderful promise that is. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. God is always with us. The Lord is always with us. He says, don't get caught up chasing after money, but be content with what you have. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And that echoes what was said in Deuteronomy 31:6. And this is what's been spoken over Joshua's life. It was spoken twice here in Deuteronomy 31. And then if you read into Joshua, you see again, the Lord was trying to get the message across to Joshua that he'd understand. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. What an incredible promise that is, that He will never leave us or forsake us. Now just think about that for a moment. That the God who created the heaven and earth, who created the universe, your Father in heaven will never leave you or never forsake you. He's always there. He's never going to let you down. And God never lets us down. People let us down. God will never disappoint you. People disappoint you. God doesn't disappoint you. God always gives what is very best for you. He gives the better than whatever you thought was. And you might not get what you thought you were going to have because God's actually got something far better for you than you even understand or even knew before. But that wonderful promise, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. If you forsake something means you forget about them. If you put it out of your life, you put it away. Well, God will never leave you and he'll never forsake you. And what a wonderful promise. And if we really understood that, I think people would struggle so much less in their lives. Because there's times where people just feel so alone and so desperate and like, God, where are you? But the reality is God hasn't left them. God gave the word. He gave his word. God's not a man that he should lie, that I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. But the reality is there is times, though, where we feel a little distant from God. Have you ever felt that? I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up. But I'm sure if all of us were honest, there are times where we feel a little distant from God. We feel not so close to God. We feel a little bit far away from God. But if he said that I will never leave you and I will never forsake you, why do we feel that sometimes? Why do we feel a little bit distant? And what happens for people when they get caught in that, and if they don't get out of that, then you find that they start to drift. And there's nothing worse than seeing someone drifting. They drift away from church. They drift away from the things of God. And it's a sad and horrible thing to see. But the reality is that sometimes that we can feel a little bit distant from God. Well, the thing that we've all obviously got to understand and appreciate that it's not God who moved. God didn't move. God is always there. God is consistency. So he says, I'm never going to leave you and I'm never going to forsake you. If I suddenly find myself feeling somehow not as close as I really want to be or should be, or I feel that there's a distance, some kind of separation, God's not the one who moved. I'm the one who moved. You're the one who moved. And as I've said many times before, each of us are as close to God right now as we really want to be. Because otherwise it's just an ideal. Oh, it's a good thing to be close to God. And we all know that. But it's not just doing that. It's actually walking in the reality of that every day in our life. But the sad thing is that some people, they get a little feeling distant from God. And when they feel distant from God, they're saying, God, what are you doing? God, why are you going away from me? Lord, God didn't move at all. He's there saying, come back. Come back to me. I'm here. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one. Arise and come to me. Because God's always there. The reality is it's us who move. We're the ones who put the separation for God. And then we cry and say, God, where did you go? Why did you leave me? He never went anywhere. He gave his word, I will never leave you or forsake you. But it's sad that sometimes that we actually do that. We actually leave God out on a distance and we put him out there. There's a really sad passage in Revelation 3, chapter 19 and 22. Now, Revelation is a very powerful book, and this is where it's in the first few chapters, first three or four chapters, where it's talking about the churches of the Asia Minor churches. Different people look at that in different ways. Some see that as, well, it was just to those churches of that time. Some see people seeing it as different phases in church history, and some see it as a prophetic outworking of what is still to come, as a precursor to all that God is doing. But the bottom line is it talks to each of these churches, and the churches each have, there's an encouragement and admonishment, and there's promises that come to them. And then we get to this church, which is the Laodicean church. Now, this is the church you're probably familiar with, this passage. This is the one where they're saying, it says, look, you think you're rich. You think you got it all. You think you're wealthy and you got it all, and I have need of nothing. But then the Lord said to this particular church, he says to them, he says that you don't realize that you're blind, that you're poor, that you're naked, that you're wretched. You don't realize that. And then he entreats them and says, well, why don't you come and get buy gold off me, refined by the fire. He says, get some salve through your eyes so you can actually see and clothe yourself in righteousness. He says, talks about them coming back. But he also talks about this thing about being lukewarm, He says, I wish you were hot, raging, passionate, or cold. But none of this stuff in the middle. And then he talks about wanting to spit them out of his mouth. The word is actually vomiting out of the mouth. And if you've ever drunk, I don't know, if you think it's in summertime and you think you're getting a nice cold glass of water to refresh yourself, and you suddenly find there's this horrible warm hot water. Ugh, not very nice. And so this is what the Lord is saying to these people. He says, I don't want you to be lukewarm. But that's not really what I want to talk about this morning. I'm not talking so much about being lukewarm. But I want to talk about this image that is actually contained in this passage, and what does that actually mean to us? How does that relate to us as we're here? Because I'm sure that we're not people that want to be lukewarm, and we're not ones that think we've got it all and done it all, that we want to be in that intimate relationship with the Lord. But this is what it says in Revelation 3:19 to 22. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. And so he's telling them to repent of their wishy-washiness, you know, that they're sort of on the fence, not really full on for God, certainly not against God, but really not one way or the other. They're there, but not really there. And so he tells them to be earnest and repent. And here I am, and this is the part I want to talk about this morning. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so there's this passage here where it says about standing at the door and knocking. Now, when people don't know Christ, and quite often we apply that for people who aren't Christians, and that Jesus is knocking on the door of their heart, and all the people have to do is respond and open their heart, and Christ will come into their life. And that's certainly true. Jesus is there, and he wants people to come into close relationship with him. He is knocking on the heart of every unbeliever, and he wants them to come into that place with him. But really, this passage isn't actually directed towards unbelievers. This is actually written towards Christians. And I think this is one of the saddest, very, very sad picture where you have Christians, people that know about the things of God, things that know Christ, but they're sort of on the edge, really, that they're not really committed one way, really, or the other. And there's this image of Christ. He was standing outside his church, or it could be the life of a Christian, and he's standing there, and he's on the outside, and he's knocking on the door and saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, if anyone opens this door, I'm going to come in and I will have fellowship with them. I'll have that intimate communion with them, but they've got to open the door." And I think that's just such a sad, sad picture of the Lord there trying to knock on hearts, knock on people's lives and saying, "Come on, just open that door, let me in." We're not talking about unbelievers here. We're talking about people that profess to be Christians, people that given their life to Christ, to say they've given their life to Christ. And the Lord's there just knocking, just open that door. Now, just imagine this for a moment. Now, this is not a perfect picture, a perfect analogy, but just imagine that parents, and there's parents and maybe your father, and he's got some kids and he's got a house. Now, just imagine, and your fathers, you can imagine this, or mothers or others, just imagine it's you, but there's a house, and inside this house are your kids. And for some reason, you find yourself outside of that. Maybe you went out to put the bins out, or you did something, whatever it was. But you come and you find that your kids have locked you out of the house. You're locked out of the house. And you're the dad. "Hey, kids, hey, open the door. Let me in." And you're knocking at the door. And because you're the father of the house, and it's your house and they're your kids. But they've locked you out of the house. And you're there, "What is going on? You're my kids, this is my house, and I'm locked out." And then you're on the door, you're knocking at the door. "Hey, open the door, kids, hey." But they can't hear you because they're playing computer games and they've got their headphones on. They can't hear you. Or maybe they've got music up. They've just turned that music up so loud and such a volume that there's boom, 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 boom coming out of the house. And they can't hear you knocking at the door. But we can be like that. We can be the child of God, and somehow though we were just shutting the Lord out. And see, because we can make a lot of noise in our lives. We can fill our lives with a whole lot of other things that take our time, other things that distract us. Every excuse that we like to make, and we're all really good at making excuses. Some of us have perfected that as an art form. And so we can't hear. Because there's so much noise in our life, so much going on in our life. We're so busy. We're so caught up with this and that and everything else in our own hearts, in our own life. And the Lord's out there saying, open the door. I want to come in and spend time with you. I want to have that intimate relationship. And the Lord's crying out, calling. But we can't hear him sometimes because we shut him out and we made a whole lot of noise. Or maybe this father, he wants to get back in and he's knocking at the door, but his kids are all in bed and they're all gone asleep. And so maybe some are just so, look, I just got so tired and I just got so weary, so much pressure, so much struggle, so many things wrong in my life and so many things I was dealing with, just couldn't cope with it. And here I am now, I'm just going to snuggle up in a little ball and I'm just going to run away and hibernate or just hide away. And then yet the Lord's there saying, arise, my darling, come to me, my beautiful one, come to me. He's knocking at the door. Maybe the father of the house is knocking and the kids are sleeping because they're tired out, they're struggling, they've gone through a whole lot of stuff. And he says, I want to be with you, I want to energize you, I want to give you life, I want to encourage you, I want to lift you up with the seat. Maybe one of them will stir a little bit and they hear the knocking at the door. And they think, no, look, I'm comfortable here. I'm comfortable. I feel safe, snuggled up with my little doona and my little blankie. And here I am, and I'm not going to get out now. I'm actually feeling okay at the moment because I feel all right. But letting the Lord, keeping him on the outside. And to me, that's such a sad picture. But can I tell you that I've done that? Can I tell you that you've done that? That there's times when the Lord is just there and he's knocking. But we're caught up with all the noise and everything else in our lives and we've actually shut him out. We don't even realize we've done it. And maybe we didn't even intend to do that because we love him. Look, we wouldn't do that because we love him, but we've done it. We do it at times and we allow other things to be so noisy and so distracting that God really doesn't get a look into our lives. We're still our father and there's still the relationship. The kids are still the children and the father's still the father. They're still related. There's still that hasn't changed, but we just put a door there and we put all this other noise and every other excuse and everything else. And then the Lord's knocking at the door saying, open the door. Just let me in. And I believe even today the Lord's knocking on some of our hearts and say, look, open the door. Stop making excuses. Stop putting barriers between us of why you can't do this and why you can't spend time with me, why you can't do this. And open the door. And he promises, he says, look, if you open the door, if you let me in, he says, I'm going to come in and I'm going to sup with you. And that what he's really saying there is, if you just open the door, because remember, he never left us or forsake us. He never leaves us. He's always there for us. He's always there. If we open the door, he says, I'm just going to come in and I'm going to eat with you and I'm going to sup with you. He's going to have intimate fellowship because there's things that happen when you sit around a table. That's why it's so important for families. It doesn't matter how old you are, how old your kids are, you spend time together, you have meals together, you spend time as a family together because that is a sharing of hearts comes around that time. And I encourage you to do that. Align your schedules, do whatever it takes so that as a family you spend that time. But there's something about when you go to another person's place and then you sit there and you eat with them and you're talking and there's fellowship with them. And how much more when the Lord comes in and he says, I want to be in that close place. I want to talk with you. I want you to share your heart and I want to share my heart with you and I want to be with you. And I tell you what, there's nothing better than being with the Lord. There's times when I just get exhausted. I get physically exhausted. I get emotionally whacked and run down. I can get discouraged. I can get whatever, all of us can get all of those things. But what maintains and sustains us is that when we have that time with the Lord, when maybe you're just sitting in the Lord's presence and maybe you're not even praying, but you just know that the Lord is with you and you just sense his presence upon your life and upon your heart and you find that discouragement does begin to evaporate. And you find that strength that you just feel like I'm whacked. I want to go hibernate. I want to go bury myself in a hole for 6 months and just snuggle in my little blankie. You find that you just get such an energy and such a strength that comes when you're sustained by the Lord, when you spend that time with him. But a lot of people give up. A lot of people get run down, worn out, and because they're not sustaining that. And then they close the door. They don't even realize that they've closed the door. Because there's a lot of noise happening, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of busyness, a lot of doing this or that. And then the Lord's still stuck out there saying, I'm knocking at the door, just let me in. I don't want to see you going through that stuff on your own. I don't want to see you struggling with the circumstances of your life. I don't want to see you wallowing in depression and discouragement and hopelessness. I want to bring my life and lift you up. I want to spend that time. But some of us have done that. Some of us do that. And I believe the Lord's cry is, open the door today. Open that door. Open it. Open the door and keep that door open. Keep the door open. Don't allow other things to be so important and so consuming that that door, you just close the door. And then later you realize, oh, where are you, Lord? I'm going through a tough time. You seem so distant, so far away. Where are you, Lord? He's outside saying, let me in. Lord, where are you? Why won't you help me? Lord, I just feel so alone and lost. And the Lord's there, he's going, just open the door. Open the door. That's all he wants us to do. Have an open heart, and he'll just pour his love and his grace, his strength, his life into us, and he will sustain us through the difficult times of life, for the tough things in our life. But there's nothing harder trying to go through it if the door's closed, and the Lord's saying, just let me in. And if you shut him out, don't shut him out. We can easily shut the Lord out. Don't let him do that. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone hears my voice, and it applies to non-Christians, yes, it does apply to them. If they hear the voice of the Lord and they say, Lord, I open my heart and my life to you, then the Lord will come in into that place of intimate fellowship and relationship with them. He says, and I will come in and I'll eat with that person and they with me. The one who is victorious, I give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Wherever he is, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so I believe that that's something God is really challenging us this morning. Have you in some way shut the Lord out? Not didn't mean to, not intentionally, but the reality is, yeah, well, when it comes to prayer, when it comes to abiding, when it comes to worshipping, maybe you have. And some people say, oh, I find it really hard to enter into worship. But tell you what, if the door's shut, it is hard to enter into worship, because you're trying to talk through the door. Lord, I love you. And the Lord's just, open the door, you know, we can be closer. Lord, where are you? Just open the door in worship. Some people say find it hard to enter into worship. If you find it hard to enter into worship, then there's a door there. You need to open the door. If you find it, so hard to pray, I really find it hard to pray, open the door, because you don't want to be praying to a door. You don't want to be praying to a wall or a roof. You want to be talking in communion, intimacy with your Father in heaven. That's when prayer comes alive. Praying through a door is dead. It sounds like it just bounces back off you, and that's all you hear is the echo of your own voice. You open the door, and the Lord is there, and you're talking intimately with him. In that sense, that's when prayer is powerful. That's when prayer comes alive. If you think prayer is boring or you struggle with praying, open the door, because you've been praying to a door, and it just seems to bounce back. Open the door. You struggle with worship, open the door. If you don't hang out with God, open the door. Allow him just to be with you and to love you and to strengthen you, to pour his love and grace with you. This beautiful Psalm 139 is a beautiful psalm, and many of you love that psalm. It's the one that talks about being beautifully and wonderfully made. It is an awesome psalm. Verse 10 of chapter Psalm 139, it says this. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. And so there's this psalmist who realizes that they're beautifully and wonderfully made, and that God formed them in the womb before they were born, that he had the plan and the purpose for their life. And he says, doesn't matter wherever I go, wherever it was, the rise of the dawn, or it's all poetic what he's saying. But the point is that wherever I am, Lord, that you're there. And his hand is always ready there to guide us. Some of us make some dumb decisions. And hands up, you ever made a dumb decision? Don't put your hand up. That was a dumb decision. You just made one. I've made dumb decisions, and we've all made dumb decisions. And I'm telling you what, the times I've made dumb decisions in my life are times where I've just put a little bit of distance between. And people do that. People even make life-changing decisions with the door closed. And they wonder why they get into such a mess and think, God, where were you? Well, he was there on the door knocking, but you didn't open it. Or the Lord's there and I've just backpedaled away and I've just, you know, whatever my excuse is and like anyone else, I can make good excuses like you can. And then we can make a dumb decision. And people, some of the dumbest decisions you've made, I guarantee you made them when you weren't walking closely with the Lord. But he says that when we know that he'll never leave us, and that if I'm going to walk with him, and you read Psalm 139, beautiful psalm, that the Lord is actually going to guide me. And so that's a part of that intimacy, is the Lord guiding us, helping us through life. Tell you what, we need help. There's a lot of stuff that we face, a lot of difficulties that we come against, a lot of struggles. We can try to muddle through, or we can say, Lord, just help me through life, Lord, and that, Lord, you're going to guide me through that. Well, what a wonderful thing is. What an assurance that is. Because sometimes you think, I don't really know. Is this the right thing or that not the right thing? But if the Lord is guiding you with that, there's a confidence that you have in that. Even though some things might say, oh, no, I don't know about that. But if the Lord's guiding you in that, there's a confidence that comes and that's born out of that intimacy with him. And this other beautiful psalm, Psalm 73. And this is what it's like. This is somebody who's talking who is actually doing this. This is a psalm of Asaph. And he's writing this psalm and talking about, this is what it's like when I'm actually someone who's got the door open. The Lord is in there and I'm supping and we're having that intimate relationship with him and we're having that time and with this time of prayer, but just hanging, just abiding and worshiping God, whether it's in the car, whether it's washing the dishes, whether it's at church, wherever it is, just loving God and honoring him. And this is what he says. And first of all, it talks about some struggles, and some of the psalms are like that because life is life. And they had struggles then, and we face struggles now. But he says, yet I'm always with you. Now, this is not God talking. This is the psalmist who's had the revelation. Despite whatever goes, he says, Lord, I am always with you. Now, remember the Lord said, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And this person is saying, despite whatever else, despite what goes on in my life, yet I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand. What a wonderful picture that is. You know, you're like a father with a child. You know, they've got to cross the busy street. And little child, you cross that road on their own, they're not going to make it. They may by chance, if enough cars screech their brakes and swerve around, and that child might make it across the road. But if they've got the father holding their little hand, and the father who can read the speed of the traffic, because they don't know the speed of the traffic. Little child, they can't judge the distance. And sometimes we can't judge time. Lord, what about the timing? Well, Lord, why isn't it happening? We can't judge that. We're too little. We're not formed enough. We don't have the discernment to know the right timing in God, the speed, the distance, those things. But God will hold us by the hand, and he knows those things, and he can steer us through, and he'll actually take us through. What a lovely picture that is. And so when we're abiding with the Lord, we're walking closely with him, we're in intimacy, this is what it looks like. Yet I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. How we need the counsel of God. As I said, a lot of the problems that you face in life, sometimes you're a victim because of someone else's sin or stupidity, but a lot of the time, a lot of the stuff we face is because of our own lack of wisdom or that we didn't actually have that counsel from God. But you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you take me into your glory. Whom have I have in heaven but you? And so the psalmist is saying, Lord, I'm living my life for you. Lord, there's nothing better, nothing greater. We sang this morning, no greater God. He says, who do I have in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire but you. Is that really true of you? That there's nothing more that you desire than just to be with the Lord? You know, the psalm says, one thing that I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is there that passion, that desire within our own heart? Is that something that we want? Because God wants it. God's crying out to us and he says, come with me. Come with me, my darling. He says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. God certainly wants it. My flesh and my heart may fail. And that's true. There's times where you're just going to, I just can't do this. The pressure of this situation, the circumstances of this, it's just, I don't know if I can cope with this. I can't handle this anymore. This is just too much. And the psalmist is saying, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And I guarantee if your strength is failing, it's for because you've taken a few steps away from God and you've put a gap there. If your strength is failing, you've done that. If you find that I just can't seem to get anywhere and I just almost feel like giving up. Maybe you shut the door and you didn't even realize you did. Maybe you're being religious and you didn't even realize that you were. But there's something that when we're walking in this intimate place, it says, you know, I'm always with you. And this is what we all want to be able to say. You hold me by your right hand. You guide me with your counsel. See, part of intimacy is obedience. You can't actually separate intimacy with obedience. Jesus says that if you love me, you will obey my commands. And that's a part of it. If we're going to get the counsel of God and know what God wants, then we need to follow that. We need to be obedient to that. We need to listen to what God says. Afterwards, you take me with you, take me into glory. And we have that wonderful promise of eternal life. Whom have I have in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you. Wow. Wouldn't that be fantastic if that was true of all of us? That our heart motivation is that we're just going to love you, Lord. And Lord, I just want to spend time with you, Lord. I'm going to love people, but Lord, I'm going to love you. And there's nothing more important, no other priority in this life more important than you. My flesh and my heart may fail. You're going to go through stuff and you may think, I just can't handle this. Even walking with the Lord, but it says, but God, and I love the scriptures wherever it says, but God, because there's always a but God. Whatever the word has said, whatever the enemy has said, but there's always a but God. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And I just believe that's an encouragement to us today. Some of us who find yourself, and maybe your strength and your heart are failing, well then get into that intimate place, because you're not going to get it anywhere else. And have all the counsel and all the wisdom of everyone and everything else, but you're going to find it only in that intimacy with your Father in heaven. And he will guide you and he will help you. And so the Lord says to us, my beloved spoke to me and said, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. And maybe today the Lord's knocking on your heart. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I guarantee the Lord is there saying, just open your heart to me. Receive me as your Lord and Savior. Let what I did on the cross, let it apply to you, the fact that you don't have to go and suffer punishment for your sins, because I took that. Allow me to pull my holiness and righteousness in your life in exchange for the muck of your life and the sin. And the Lord would be saying, open the door to me. But if we've given our heart to Christ, and so we're in a relationship with Father, but we're not in intimate fellowship with him, we're not walking closely with him, then I believe the Lord's saying to a few people this morning, open that door. Don't try to do it all on your own. Don't go through life, because life will throw challenges at you. But be in that intimate place. And he says, you're my portion. You're my strength. You're the one who sustains me. You're the one who feeds me. And so I encourage you today, open the door of your heart. You might say, oh, no, my heart is already open. Well, when we're religious, we think that. And exactly what he was saying to the Laodicean church, he says, oh, I've got everything I need. I'm okay. Oh, this is a good message for him. That's a good word for her. No, maybe this is a good message for you this morning. Maybe God is speaking to me this morning. Maybe he says something about knocking on the door of your heart, my heart, and saying, look, let me be closer to you. Come in, let me be in that intimate place. And as I said before, it depends upon you today. It doesn't depend on him. I will never leave you. Excuse me, I'll never forsake you. He is here. He's there. And maybe we put the door, or maybe we just have to take a few steps. But whatever it is, there's that intimacy that he's invited us into. And we want to live and walk in that. So let's stand at our feet. I'd like to pray for us this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, as we just stand before you now, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, you are the God who loves us so much. We've been singing, Lord, about the greatness of your God, Lord. We've been singing about you, the God that makes us brave, Lord. And Father, but we want to be people, Lord, who walk so closely to you, Lord, every day. Lord, to know what it is to abide with you, Lord. Do pray, Lord, and worship, Lord. And Father, that we never shut you out of our lives too easily, that we do that sometimes. Father, thank you, Lord, that you're gracious to us. Lord, that when you open that door's open, you never condemn them for closing the door, but you went in and had that intimacy. And so, Father, is anyone here this morning that hasn't opened the door to Jesus Christ and never received him and received you as Lord and Savior? Father, I just pray, Lord, that in the name of Jesus Christ, they will give their heart to Jesus this day. Father, if we're honest with ourselves and say, yeah, look, I've shut that door and I've got a lot of noise and I've got a lot of stuff going on. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that we'll open that door to you now, Lord, that we have that intimacy with you. Father, we're taking a few steps away for whatever reason. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we'll come running into your arms today. Lord, into that place. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you don't condemn any of us. But Lord, you just give the invitation and you say, come, arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me, Lord. And you want us to be in that intimate place with you, Lord, where we have life, where we have hope, where we have strength. And Father, that we don't have to fail. We don't have to fall, Lord, but you are our portion. Lord, even when our humanity is given up, Lord, the strength of your Spirit gives us life and hope. And Father, we just thank you this day that you love us, Lord, that's available for every person. Lord, I pray, Lord, let us see the door open, Lord. Lord, we consciously are opening our hearts, Lord. Lord, if we shut that door, we didn't even realize it. We open it again, Father. Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that you will come into that intimate place with us. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves to you. We thank you, Lord, that we never have to fail. We never have to be lost in struggle. But, Lord, that we can have that strength and your life upon us as we open the door. We take those steps towards you, Lord, because you never leave us and never fail, Lord. And we want to be the ones, Lord, that know you hold our hand. Lord, that we listen to your voice. We have your guidance, Lord. And, Lord, that you just strengthen us every day. So, Father, we just thank you for this day. Let your blessing be on every heart. In Jesus' name. You need prayer this morning, I'd love to pray with you. You've never given your life to Jesus Christ, and let this be your day where you open the door to him. And maybe you've shut off the Lord and your life has fallen away even, then I'd love to pray with you this morning. So there's that opportunity of prayer. But let's worship the Lord as we sing this together.